Hare Krishna. It is a great honor and privilege and pleasure to be here with all of you in the most auspicious place, Sri Vrindavan Dham, on the auspicious day of Shivaratri. Srila Prabhupada says that generally Vaishnavas do not observe Shivaratri, but because Lord Shiva is himself a Vaishnava and a very merciful one, so we can remember him and glorify him and pray to him for his mercy. Today I shall read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva. Text 30. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atha Bhagavata Yuyam Priya Sta Bhagavan Yatha Na Mat Bhagavatanam Cha Prayan Anya Asti Karichit Atha Bhagavata Yuyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata
Priyasta Bhagavan Yata
Namad Bhagavata Namcha
Namad Bhagavata Namcha
Preyan Anyosti Karichit
Preyan Anyosti Karichit
Atta Bhagavata Yuyam Priyasta Bhagavan Yata
Priyasta Bhagavan Yata
Namad Bhagavata Namcha Preyan Anyosti Karichit
Preyan Anyosti Karichit
Atha Bhagavata Yuyam
Atha Bhagavata Yuyam
Priyasta
Bhagavan
Yata
Priyasta Bhagavan Yata Namcha
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yata. As. Na. Neither. Much. Than me. Bhagavatanam. Of the devotees. Cha. Also. Prayan. Very dear. Anya. Others. Asti. There is. Parichit, at any time. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Now this verse is spoken by Lord Shiva to the Prachetas. Translation. You are all devotees of the Lord, and as such, I appreciate that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees as I am. Please repeat. You are all devotees of the Lord.
We are all devotees of the Lord.
And as such,
I appreciate
that you are as respectable as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. I know in this way that the devotees also respect me, and that I am dear to them. Thus, no one can be as dear to the devotees
as I am.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said, Vaishnava Nam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva is the best of all devotees. Therefore, all devotees of Lord Krishna are also devotees of Lord Shiva. in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami defines pure devotional service. And he says, Anya Vilasita Sunya Jnana Karmadi Anavratam Anukuyena Krishna Anushilanam Bhakti Uttama. There are many elements to this most important verse that is meant to guide all of us in our practice of bhakti yoga. Anya vilasita sanyam. Anya means other. Abhilas means desire. And itta means in general. Now, ordinarily we would say anya vilas. One should not have any other desire than to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. But the suffix itta is explained that under ordinary circumstances we do not engage in devotional service for any other purpose than to please Krishna. But under some extreme circumstance, such as when we or someone dear to us is being attacked, in a deadly manner, one might, feeling no other recourse, pray to Krishna for protection. Generally, pure devotees do not pray to Krishna for the sake of the body or for material protection, but under extraordinary circumstances they may. One example is the kingly elephant Gajendra, when he was in the grips of the jaw of the crocodile and he was in danger of losing his life, he prayed to the Lord. But he prayed with a sense of regret. He didn't want to bother the Lord with his material problems, but being in such an extreme situation of danger, he did, because he had no other recourse. But his prayer was accompanied with a sense of regret. And Srila Prabhupada says that the relationship between the devotee and the Lord is so intimate that the devotee may pray to the Lord for some material relief in an extreme situation. But even then the devotee feels some remorse for having to disturb the Lord. So, anya vilasita sunya jnana karmadi anavratam. Anavratam means devotional service should not be covered by jnana and personal speculation, karma, prudent activity, and so on. Anukuryena, it should be favorable to Krishna's pleasure. The anukulyena Krishna. All right, now here is a very important word, Krishna. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has explained again and again that Krishna means Krishna. Krishna doesn't mean something else. Krishna means Krishna. When I was first preaching in Bombay, quite surprisingly then, I got a letter from a very wealthy man who had never met us, inviting me to come to his office to discuss. His name was Sadbridratan Mota, and before partition, he had been the wealthiest man in what became Pakistan. And he was married to Arti Birla's daughter, so he was a very wealthy man, but somehow he wanted to meet us and discuss. So I went to his office and began to discuss the Bhagavad Gita. And he said that Krishna, who's speaking the Bhagavad Gita, is not Krishna. This is a very typical impersonal interpretation. Krishna is not Krishna. There's one interpretation that Prabhupada criticized strongly. Krishna is not Krishna, but the unborn, unknown, unknowable, who is speaking through Krishna. And Mr. Mota was saying that like all pervading Krishna is greater than the person Krishna. So in those days, Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, and in the evening I would come back and report to him about my day's activities. So I recounted this. I've only told a part of it, but I recounted this very extraordinary discussion with Mr. Mota. And when I said that Mr. Mota said that Krishna isn't Krishna, Srila Prabhupada replied, "If Krishna isn't Krishna, who is he? Mota?" And then when I told him that Mr. Mota had said that like all pervading Krishna is greater than the person Krishna, he said, "You should ask Mr. Mota, what is more valuable to you? $10 in the pocket of everyone on the planet, or $1 million in your pocket?" So
it is our fundamental principle of hermeneutics that Krishna means Krishna.
But in the commentaries on the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Srila Prabhupada explain that Krishna does not mean Krishna alone. It means Krishna, but not Krishna alone. Krishna, in this context, means
Krishna and his plenary expansions and his pure devotees. They're all included. And they give the example that when they refer to the king automatically includes his form, his paraphernalia, his entourage. If we say that the king is coming, it includes more than just that individual single person. So here, Srila Prabhupada is invoking that principle by saying that because Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, therefore every devotee of Krishna is also a devotee of Lord Shiva. Because Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone, but Krishna includes Krishna and his various expansions, plenary portions, and his pure devotees. In Vrindavan, where are we today? In Vrindavan, there is Lord Shiva's temple called Gopishwara. The gopis used to worship not only Lord Shiva, but Katyayani, or Durga, as well. But their aim was to attain the favor of Lord Krishna. So this could be seen superficially as a deviation from the principles of pure devotional service, because pure devotees, as a rule, do not worship demigods. And certainly they do not worship demigods for material gain. That is against the principles of pure devotional service. But to worship Lord Shiva, or Goddess Katyayani, as someone who can help us in our service to Krishna is allowed if it is done in the proper consciousness. But we also should be careful that people do not misunderstand us and see, oh, you know, the Hare Krishna devotees are worshipping Lord Shiva, or the ISKCON devotees are worshipping demigods, so it's okay. Because we always have to be conscious of our positions as representatives of Srila Prabhupada and the Parampara. But internally, one can worship Lord Shiva for the sake of achieving one's desired service to Krishna. A devotee of Lord Krishna does not disrespect Lord Shiva, but worships Lord Shiva as the most exalted devotee of Lord Krishna. Consequently, whenever a devotee worships Lord Shiva, he prays to Lord Shiva to achieve the favor of Krishna, and he does not request material profit. In Bhagavad Gita 7:20, it is said that generally people worship demigods for some material profit. Kamais taistakritigyana. Driven by material lust, they worship demigods. But a devotee never does so, for he is never driven by material lust. That is the difference between a devotee's respect for Lord Shiva and an asura's respect for him. The asuras worship Lord Shiva, take some benediction from him, misuses the benediction, and ultimately is killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards him liberation. Now this dual aspect of Lord Shiva is very important for us to understand. He is a devotee of Krishna, and therefore a devotee of Krishna will recognize him as a devotee of Krishna and approach him as one devotee would approach another devotee for help in devotional service. But others approach him as a demigod, and for them he acts as a demigod. They approach him for material gain, and if he's pleased with them, he gives them their desire. Now, in 1970, yes, end of 1970. Yeah, this is also very interesting. We were in New Delhi with Srila Prabhupada. We had just completed the first Delhi Pandal at Kanak Circus. And Srila Prabhupada was planning to come to Vrindavan for the first time with his disciples who had come from America, mainly. But Srila Prabhupada had received an invitation to Madras. He didn't want to go himself, but he wanted someone to go. So I had by then gotten the idea that the secret of success in spiritual life is to please the spiritual master. So I agreed to go. And so a small party went to Madras. And I was preaching, as I had heard Srila Prabhupada preach, and not only in person, but as he preaches in his books. But in the course of meeting people, I was told there's a very pious man named Mr. Ramakrishna, and I should meet him. He'll be happy to know about you. So I met him. He readily agreed to meet us. And I was preaching in the usual way. And he became argumentative, and he was saying, actually, Krishna is not supreme, but Shiva is supreme. So, you know, I gave my evidence, but he wasn't hearing, and he was a very volatile type of person, and he was like getting angry. He was like getting red in the face, getting angry, and like shouting, and I was shouting back at him, and the whole thing was like turning into an explosion. So, anyway, I tried to, you know, sort of patch things up a little at the end, but overall, it was a very heavy confrontation without any reconciliation. So again, meeting people, and then again hearing, oh, have you met Mr. Ramakrishna? He's such a pious man. He'll like what you're doing. And I kept hearing it again and again. So then I thought, well, maybe I can try it again, but do it differently. But I didn't know how he would respond, but I phoned him and he immediately agreed. Because I imagine he was also, oh, have you met the Hare Krishna devotees? They're doing wonderful work. We really like them. So we met him and we were both being careful not to get into any big arguments. But again, I feel he provoked me. Maybe he feels I provoked him. Who is supreme, Krishna or Shiva? So we were both trying to remain cool, but it was getting hotter. And but we neither of us wanted it to end the way it did the last time. So but it was heating up, and I knew if it kept going, he wouldn't be able to control himself, and then I would also reciprocate in kind. And then suddenly, like I was praying, like what to do, suddenly I got the answer. I said, Mr. Ramakrishna, I'm just a student. I'm not really fit to discuss with you. But my teacher, Shiva Prabhupada, will be coming to Madras in a few weeks. So I think it's better you discuss with him. And that was like the perfect answer, because we avoided the argument and he got to meet Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada came, and you know, Mr. Ramakrishna said, I've been having discussions with your disciple, and you know, he's been saying that Krishna is supreme and I've been saying that Shiva is supreme. And Srila Prabhupada very skillfully and expertly avoided that question. And he said that in Vedic culture, there are two words, puja and bhakti, or puja and seva. And in puja, one serves the deity to get something in return. Whereas in bhakti, one serves the deity only to give pleasure to the deity without any desire for material return. And Srila Prabhupada said that generally people worship. So we worship Krishna in the mood of bhakti just to please him. And Mr. Ramakrishna said, well, wouldn't it be possible to worship Shiva in the mood of bhakti? And Srila Prabhupada said, it is possible, but it's unusual. Just like it's possible that one can go to a liquor shop for some other purpose, but generally it's understood if one goes to a liquor shop, it's to purchase liquor and drink. But Mr. Ramakrishna said, but still, in an exceptional case, is it not possible to worship Lord Shiva in the mood of bhakti without desiring any material return? And Srila Prabhupada said yes. And if one worships Lord Shiva in that mood, then that worship is as good as the worship of Krishna. Because we're worshiping Krishna's devotee. And Lord Shiva will help us to come closer to Krishna. So, what Srila Prabhupada explained philosophically to Mr. Ramakrishna, it was exemplified by the gopis, who did worship Lord Shiva, not to get anything material for themselves, but in order to get Krishna, to get the opportunity to serve Krishna. And so we can follow in their footsteps. Because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Did you hear that? Because he's a great devotee, he loves all the other devotees. So we think we're great devotees. Of course, great devotees don't think they're great devotees. But if we want to think we're great devotees, we have to see whether we love all the devotees. And usually, one can love all the devotees only if he's humble. Then it's possible. Otherwise, if he thinks I'm a great devotee, then I know that less than me is. Unworthy of me, worthy only of serving me and glorifying me. But because Lord Shiva is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he loves all the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Lord Shiva told the Prachetas that because they were devotees of the Lord, he loved them very much. Lord Shiva was kind and was not kind and merciful only to the Prachetas. Anyone who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very dear to Lord Shiva. Not only are the devotees dear to Lord Shiva, but he respects them as much as he respects the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, devotees of the Supreme Lord also worship Lord Shiva as the most dear devotee of Lord Krishna. They do not worship him as a separate personality of Godhead. This is very important. It is stated in the list of nam aparads that it is an offense to think that the chanting of the name of Hari and the chanting of Hara or Shiva are the same. Devotees must always know that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that Lord Shiva is his devotees. A devotee should be offered respect on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and sometimes even more respect. Indeed, Lord Rama, the Personality of Godhead himself, sometimes worshiped Lord Shiva. Now, there is a great confusion in some quarters as to the identity of Lord Krishna or Rama or Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And it is an offense, namaparad, to consider the names of demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. And so people need to be educated in, sambandha jnana when they are engaged in kirtan. For the kirtan to have the real benefit, it should be done as Rupa Goswami describes, Krishna Anushivanam, as a cultivation for the pleasure of Krishna. Now, when Lord Ramachandra was in South India at Rameshwaram, he worshipped a deity of Lord Shiva. And Some people use this incident as evidence that Lord Shiva is supreme. And they say that because Rama was going to kill Ravana, who was a devotee of Shiva, that Ram went to take permission from Lord Shiva before killing Ravana. Srila Prabhupada said that people who put forward this theory in effect are saying that Lord Shiva is a rascal. That Lord Ram said, can I have permission to kill your devotee? Oh yes, yeah, you can kill my devotee, no problem. Only a rascal, I mean this is Prabhupada's explanation, only a rascal would just dismiss someone who's his devotee to be killed by someone else. The fact is that Krishna Mare Rake Ke, Krishna Rake Mare Ke, that when Krishna decides to kill someone, no one can save him. And when Krishna decides to save someone, no one can kill him. So, during the fight, Parvati approached her husband, Lord Shiva, Ravana is your devotee and he's in trouble. You should do something to protect him. And Lord Shiva replied that when Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wants to kill him, what can I do? So it's not that he gave permission, but he did not have the power. He did not have the power. Now, why did Lord Rama worship Lord Shiva? So Srila Prabhupada gives the answer that Krishna likes to worship his devotees. Krishna likes to serve his devotees. Krishna drove the chariot of Arjuna. It doesn't mean that Arjuna is supreme, but it means that Krishna likes to serve his devotees. Krishna worshiped the feet of Sudama Brahman. Doesn't mean that Sudama Brahman is supreme, but it means that Krishna likes to serve his devotees, to worship his devotees. So if even the Supreme Lord himself is eager to worship his devotees, then why should not one devotee be eager to serve another devotee, to worship another devotee? So this is really the mood of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Das. I'm not a Brahman, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not a Vaishya, I'm not a Shudra, I'm not a Brahmachari, I'm not a Grihastha, I'm not a Vanaprastha, I'm not a Sannyasi. But I'm just a servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the main trainer of the gopis of Vrindavan. So that is our actual identity. But devotees in the conditioned state should also have a place in Varnashram. We shouldn't understand that this most important statement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is about our actual identities, our constitutional position, means that we don't need to have any regard for the system of Varnashram Dharma, Daivi Varnashram. But our acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, explained that one should be properly situated in Varnashram Dharma and follow the rules and regulations of life according to that position in order to have a relatively stable and anxiety-less situation in which to practice devotional service and ultimately realize oneself as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, maintainer of the gopis. Now, coming back to the idea of the example that we set, when Srila Prabhupada came to Madras, a wealthy man had a deity installation in his home. It was quite a pretty big deity room, and he invited a lot of the elite of Madras, religious figures and also cultural figures, business figures, professionals, and there were a number of devotees with Srila Prabhupada, but the room was small. Not that small, but it was too small for all of us to fit in. So we were on the outside, sort of looking in, and the deity room was quite crowded. And there was a Shivalinga. The main deity was the Shivalinga. So we were all looking to Srila Prabhupada to see what he would do. And so the host passed out flowers to all the invitees. And at the appropriate moment, they offered their flowers to Lord Shiva. So eyes are fixed on Srila Prabhupada, and he put his flowers in the corner. So then when everyone came out, we went in, and we saw that in the corner there was a little statue or deity of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada had offered his flowers to the deity of Krishna to show the example. I mean, I don't want to speculate, but I'm quite sure that he would have visited Gopeshwar Mahadev when he was living in Vrindavan. And as he said here, the gopis pray to Gopeshwar Mahadev, and so the devotees can do that. But as the acharya setting the example, he didn't offer, because they were materialists, they're probably seeing Lord Shiva as a demigod or an equal god to Krishna. And so he didn't want to be part of that, but he kept his own principle and offered his flowers to Krishna. There was once an Austrian man named Agendra Bharati, became a sannyasi. And he came, anyway, he was like a Mayavadi. It was unusual at that time that a European would be a sannyasi. But he was exceptional. He was a Mayavadi sannyasi. So the Illustrated Weekly of India is like magazine used to be, a very popular magazine, weekly, carried an article about him. and, you know, said that he, you know, that he chanted Shiva, Shiva. So, Srila Prabhupada had taught us that if there's any article with any objectionable statement, we should write a letter to the editor. So I wrote a letter, and the editor, Kushwant Singh, he took advantage of that letter and maybe even sent it to Bharati for his comments. And then he published another article called Hare Krishna versus Shiva Shiva. And I could just see what the editor was doing. He wanted to make it look like we were both silly, like fighting over who's supreme, just like fanatics, just like foolish children, just fighting over nothing. And I wrote my understanding to Srila Prabhupada, and he said, yes. Bharati's a fool, but Singh, that was the editor, but Singh is a demon. So he could really see very clearly who was who and what was what. So, of course, there's so much to say about Lord Shiva, and so much to say about Srila Prabhupada, and so much to say about Lord Shiva and Madras. But I think we'll end now and see if there are any questions or comments. This is a very important topic. Yes, Anubhata Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Is there a traveling microphone? Well, I'll be able to hear you and I'll repeat it in the microphone.
Thank you very much.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming.
Thank you for your wonderful class and wonderful remembrance of Srila Prabhupada and how he helps these most important issues. My question is that the nectar of devotion, which of course is one of our most important Vaishnava scriptures, it mentions that one should begin the worship of Ganapati, of Ganesh. And as he is meditation on Lord Vishnu, his function is he removes the obstacles on the path of the service. And I want to know if you can bring that into a little bit of context in terms of your possible experience with Srila Prabhupada and how this this point relates to the our devotional service, and you know, if we can actually worship Lord Ganapati. I just thought maybe it was relevant in terms of, you know, what we're discussing in terms of what she is worship.
That is a good question. Part of Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service is anushilanam. Shilanam means cultivation, and anu, it can mean continuous. Pure devotional service is continuous, it's not interrupted for anything else. And anu also means to follow. Like we are Rupanugas, we follow Rupa Goswami. So, we need, if we're going to worship Ganesh, we need to do it following the directions of our acharya, and therefore you inquire. The only incident I recall when someone asked Srila Prabhupada about worshipping Ganesh, was Guru Kripa
Prabhu.
He asked Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, you can, but then you have to give me $100,000 every month. So I guess if anyone wants to worship Lord Ganesh, that's the condition. But does anyone else have any other? But that was my own only direct response. Any other questions or comments? Maharaj.
Can you tell us if there's any follow-up about Ram Krishna and Rich Radha Mohan in terms of developing in Krishna consciousness? Were they influenced?
He asked about the subsequent developments with Mr. Ramakrishna and with Sri Bridgerton Mota. Well, eventually we left Madras and we didn't really have a center there for quite a while, so we didn't keep contact with Mr. Ramakrishna, but he certainly ended up with a very positive experience and appreciation of Srila Prabhupada. But Mr. Mota, he became very close to the devotees and to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, he was a very very intelligent person, and he liked what Srila Prabhupada was doing, spreading Krishna consciousness. And by association, he gradually started to change. He actually started to get a sense of the personal conception of God. He actually started to chant japa. Although people can chant japa with different mentalities. But I think he was more of a devotee than an impersonalist. But he loved to, he loved what Prabhupada was doing, and he would always come and assist and be on our advisory committee, and yeah, he really did a lot of service. But sometimes he would have ideas. He was already an older person when he met us, but he would have ideas from before. And I'll mention a few because they might be relevant. We have a temple here and we're opening temples everywhere in India. But he thought that if we invited Mayavadis, we could attract more people. And he even said that they don't have to speak. He said that some Mayavadis, they just do like bhajans, and because they're like famous people, just come to be with them. But Prabhupada said, no Mayavadis. As we were getting closer to opening the temple, he said, if you want to get a lot of money in the hundi, in the donation box, you should have the pujari circulate the rumor that anyone who puts money in the box, they get their wishes fulfilled. And Srila Prabhupada said, we can't do that. We don't make business with our God. You know, we don't want God to be our servant. We want to be servants of God. But Mr. Motis, some of his suggestions were really very good. And one of them was that Srila Prabhupada should include an installment from the Bhagavad Gita in every issue of Bhaktivedanta magazine. And Srila Prabhupada accepted it. And he adjusted it a little and made it an installment from Srimad Bhagavatam, but that idea actually came from Mr. Mota. And he was touched by Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
I was in the path of following the Mahajana, following the Bhagavad tradition, the 12 Mahajanas are described. And following the footsteps as you want to describe the Anugata. So we follow, concentrate on the instructions given by the Mahajanas, our Gurudevas, we don't emphasize what they did. We emphasize what they teach and what they told the instructions. So, in connection to Lord Shiva, in Skanda Purana, we had an episode where Skanda, Kartikeya, his son, is after he finished his Vedic studies. And he said, "My father, I am confused because in different sections of the Vedas, different deities are described as supreme for the worship. What should I do?" And Lord Shiva became very happy. He said, "My son, you have asked me a wonderful question. So the answer is that whatever is in confirmation with Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate truth. And which does not agree with Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a truth, but it can be circumstantial. Circumstantial by he meant that when a devotee or a great saint or renounced person comes to a household, in India sometimes they are addressed as Bhagwan, please come in, because they see that person in relation with the Lord, but he is not the Supreme Personality of God and himself, but the relationship, his relationship with Krishna is so elusive that he is also addressed as Bhagwan. Lord Shiva is learning for all the followers of what he instructs. He does not emphasize his worship anywhere in the scriptures. He emphasizes the worship of God only. So that's why in Vedic literature, the 12 Mahajanas, no matter in the Sattvic, Tamasic, or Rajasic Purana, when one of these 12 authorities mentions Srimad Bhagavatam, they are giving instructions, they are giving the pure devotional service.
The very beautiful contribution that that Lord Shiva is one of the 12 Mahajans, and once his son Kartikeya, this is described in Skanda Purana, said there are so many kinds of worship, and which worship is the best or supreme. And Lord Shiva replied that the worship that is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that is the supreme. Other types of worship might be recommended under certain circumstances for some temporary reason, but the worship that is given in Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme. And yes, Lord Shiva, there are so many wonderful verses from Lord Shiva, but one, Aradhananam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Paramada. All types of worship, the worship of Vishnu is supreme. Tasmat Paratara Devi Tadiyanam Samarjanam. But even better than the worship of Vishnu is the worship of things related to Vishnu, or in other words, the devotion of Vishnu. Thank you very much. All right, I think we have reached the perfect conclusion. So, thank you very much. Our words to Srila Prabhupada.